Hey everyone, welcome back to Hysteria Radio, the only place where we're always talking music, arts, expressive arts, writing, blogging, anything creative. We're talking about it here, and especially if it has to do with mental health, which I really feel like everything applies to mental health. Life is mental health. Today, our guest is a good friend of mine. You know, I don't want to give the wrong introduction because I know her so well. I know her as a life coach because she's actually helped me out a bunch of situations. Her name is Marissa Panay. Hey, Marissa.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
So why don't you give them your exact title?
Yeah. So hi, I'm Marissa. I'm a life coach and business strategist specifically for entrepreneurial women with anxiety. But I do help everybody like Joe and other people. So I kind of do a little bit of everything.
Not just women. I have been helped. So, and I could attest that she's helped me through some really tough times. And so why don't you give us a little bit of your history? How did mental health affect you, or, you know, how did you get involved with all this?
Yeah, for sure. Back in 2012, I was diagnosed with anorexia, but my entire life I pretty much struggled with depression and anxiety. So through that whole struggle, I was hospitalized in 2012. And then after the hospitalization is kind of when during the hospitalization is when I realized that, like, the girls there, because I was in an adolescent unit at the time, I was like almost 18. So I was still there, like, with the girls that were like 10 and 12. And I realized that they were like looking up to me. They were like, oh, well, she's older than me. She's like a big sister, so I have to do what she does. So it was in the hospital when I had my first moment of, you're not a piece of shit. Like, you can actually help people. And so I would have to finish my meals, and then the other girls would finish their meals. So that's when I realized, I was like, oh, wow, I can affect other people. But I kind of just played it off and was like, whatever, like, they're just copying me, whatever. But then when I got out of the hospital, I actually was in a psychology class in high school, and we had to do a presentation on mental illness. And I was like, hey, like, I just got out of the hospital for anorexia. Can I do a presentation on anorexia? And my teacher was like, yeah, go for it. Like, if you feel comfortable sharing, go. And I was like, all right, well, I'm never comfortable sharing. I never would talk in front of the class. I would never raise my hand. I was the kid that was afraid to go blow her nose because she didn't want to go up and go get a tissue in front of the class. Like, I would just be so full of anxiety that I would just sit there with a runny nose. Like, I was that kid. So having the urge to go tell my story in front of a room full of kids, I have no idea where that came from. But when I did it, I was shaking, obviously, because I did not like talking in front of people. And then at the end of the presentation, there was at least two different girls that were like, thank you for actually talking about this, because I think I also have an eating disorder and now I think I should go get help. So I was just like, shit, like, I busted past the anxiety, did what I thought I had to do, talked about it, showed that I could recover, showed that, even though, like, I like showed like some Dr. Phil clip of like the worst anxiety or the worst anorexia patient or whatever. And so it's like showing the actual worst of an eating disorder and then being like, yeah, so I was just hospitalized for it, but I'm here and I'm working on getting better. And that was enough to inspire two people to be like, yo, I need help. So that's when I first started being like, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. But I was still struggling at that time with really bad anxiety and depression. It wasn't like just like a go to the hospital, you're out, you're good.
Yeah.
But then I left for college a few months later. And with that, it was kind of like I moved to New York City. I left my entire environment behind. I left my mentally abusive boyfriend behind, got a restraining order against him, and was just kind of like, okay, I'm free. Like, I'm free to recover. I'm free to do me. And I can kind of make my own life now, and I don't have to live in this life that I was for the past 20 years or whatever, however old you are when you go to college.
Yeah.
So then I think it was my first or second year in college, I met my then boyfriend, who also struggled with anxiety and depression, was like, hey, we have stories, we recovered, yada yada yada, let's like make a movement out of this. And that's when we were like, okay, let's make a clothing line, because we were both into like metal bands and like people that wear band t-shirts and stuff like that. So we were like, let's have that idea. And that's actually where Spies, my company now, which stands for support people in every situation. That's how Spies was born, was it was a clothing line. Yeah, that's kind of how everything started with mental illness, was we wanted to raise awareness. So you put on a shirt and it would be like a badge of honor, like saying like, look, I struggle with mental illness, or I know someone who struggles with mental illness and I think you're cool. Like, let's talk. You're not alone. Like, that was like the whole theory behind it.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much how I started on this journey.
That's awesome. And I remember when I watched your Spies video about the clothing line, you guys were going to concerts and like getting up on stage and telling your story and, you know, stating, you know, what your mission was all about. And it's interesting. I recently read an article that 70% of musicians are living with a mental health condition. And I just thought, like, what a great idea for you to go there and be like, listen, like we get it and it's okay. And
that's actually really funny. I did not know that stat at all. But what we did realize was like, we were in that, like, I don't even know, like not pop punk, like, I don't know, like the local band scene, like my boyfriend at the time had all the friends that were in the bands and everything. So our friends were like, oh, hey, you should set up at our show. And then we did. And then like, I remember we went to like, at a local concert and it was like the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. And we were just like, how did we get here? I don't know. But it was like, and then you started like going to actual shows, but every single person there would be like, oh, cool, I have depression. And like people would just start opening up to us at these concerts and then it would be a complete stranger. And you're just like, all of these people are struggling. I had no idea. And then like the like actual band members would be like, walking around because they'd have their merch set up next to us and they'd be like, oh cool, are you a band? We're like, no, we're actually a mental health awareness brand. And they're like, oh awesome, my friend just died of suicide and I've been trying to raise awareness. And you're just like, whoa, like where did that come from? So
people are dying to talk about it, you know. It's really everywhere you go, it's a topic that doesn't come up and people don't really know how to talk about it. And then as soon as I say something, like there, and I still have that hesitation. Like last night I was at an event, I was on some panel, and before I walked in, and I think the guy who was sitting there just thought that I was going to watch the movie. He didn't know that I was a part of the panel or anything. So he started talking about mental health. He's like, yeah, can you believe like mental health is like such a big thing? And I'm like, oh no, like I can't even believe it, you know, like acting like, you know, I know nothing about it. And then, I said to him, I said, well, I had three attempts. He brought up suicide and I said, I had three attempts in my 20s. And he was just like, oh, he's like, you know, we had a guy that used to come to classes here and he just died by suicide. It was like something that I knew he was dancing around until I said that I had gone through it. And then like, you could see like the immediate relief on him. And I still think it's the most amazing thing, because sometimes within our community, I walk away from, you know, a NAMI event or This Is My Brave, or, you know, even when we're just hanging out with our friends and I'm like, ah, everybody gets it, you know, because I get caught up in our world where like we all kind of get it. And I forget that on the outside, you know, there's still all this like guilt and shame and like a resistance or like a fear of talking about mental health. And
yeah, for sure. You know, that's actually funny, because like I'm do the same thing. Like someone would be like, oh, what's your tattoo? And I'm like, oh, it's anorexia recovery tattoo. And then they're like, they just stare at me for a second, and then like a week later they'll be like, so you know how you said, and then like they'll start bringing up like mental health and you're like, oh okay. like it's the unspoken topic until someone else brings it up, and then they feel like they can talk about it.
Yeah. And you were talking about when you were at the hospital how you had to be like the strong one for the younger girls in there. How are you able to do that and still go about your recovery at the same time? Or did it help?
It helped. Mostly because I refused and didn't want to go to the hospital for months. And then I finally hit my breaking point. And I just remember like laying on the floor in my bedroom and being like praying to God every night, which I didn't believe in at the time. And it was just like, kill me, like just let my heart stop in my sleep, like I just don't want to do this anymore, like I was done. And then like I just woke up one day and was like, you know what, if I'm praying for God to kill me, why can't I pray for recovery or to be better, to do anything? So I was ready when I went to the hospital. So I was like doing everything I could. Like I want, and I'm a rule follower. So that like that part of me was like, I have to follow all the rules. So if they told me to do something, then I had to do it. So I went in with the mission to get better and beat whatever the fuck was in my head. And I was just like, all right, you're going to do this. And then when I realized the girls were looking up to me and they're like, how did you finish that? How did you do that? I was just like, oh, okay. Now I'm an inspiration. Now I'm like a guide. Okay. And then like, I just took on that role.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And then, so then you started Spies, the clothing company. Mm-hmm. And how did you go from that into what you're doing now with the life coaching and the blogging and the writing? Like, I mean, you bring so many, you know, different aspects of health and wellness into your practice. It like amazes me. Like, I feel like if you went and got like your psychology degree, like you would be like the ultimate, like future psychologist, like somebody that believes in like meditation and, you know, the mind, body, spiritual connection and how it's like a combination and the health side of it. I just, and there's not too many psychologists that do that. Like, I'm very lucky. I have a nurse practitioner that, you know, specializes in mindfulness and, you know, goes on like silent retreats every few months. Like, I can't even find them. So if you have an emergency, it's probably not the best doctor for you, but for me, it works out now. But, you know, and it took me until I was 30 to meet him. So I could see how before I met him, how, you know, I always had this thing against psychiatry and psychologists because I didn't like the disconnect. And I didn't like that, you know, you had to see two people and then they talked and they couldn't really get their story straight. And one didn't know how the chemicals were affecting you and one didn't really know who you were. And I could see how if I was seeing them back then, but then added someone like you, like a life coach who could just like keep me grounded and keep me focused on life stuff rather than like the medical side of it, I could see how that would have helped like infinitely at the time.
Well, first, thank you. I really appreciate what you just said. And I actually am going back to school right now for psychology and then a master's in probably social work. So,
wow.
So that's good. That'll happen soon. But.
So you will be that person.
I will be that person. That's the goal.
That's awesome.
I thought it was kind of funny what you said, the psychiatrist and the therapist and how there was such a disconnect because I had, once I found a therapist, she was my rock and pretty much she was great. Like I took like 4 or 5 trials before I found one, but it was like you went to the initial consultation. You're like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. Or like, I wouldn't even open up. And then I went to this lady and I was like, oh, you're my friend. I can talk to you. So it was like an instant click. But then when I went to a psychiatrist, she prescribed me a medicine that the side effect was anorexia, which I was like, one, how is this even a side effect? And two, how did you do that? Like, what in your right mind would make you prescribe that? Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
And she knew your whole history.
Yeah. So, and yeah, she just, every time I was there, she made me, the psychiatrist made me get on a scale and then she prescribed me this medication. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, I'm not going back there. My mom was like, oh, but you need a psychiatrist. I'm like, I'm not going back there. Like, you can't make me. So I could definitely, I definitely feel that disconnect and how much it irritated me. But how I actually got into the life coaching and everything, I didn't even know life coaching was a thing until a few years ago. Like, I always just thought people helped people. Like, I didn't realize it was a profession.
Now you gotta pay for that.
Yeah, so pretty much.
These days, you signed into Twitter lately, no one's helping anybody.
Pretty much. But the way that it happened with the transition from Spies Clothing to Spies Fit to Fight, which is the current brand, is that we would go to these shows, we would talk to people, people would come to us for advice, we'd share our story, we'd inspire people. And it was just like the cycle of meeting new people, inspiring new people, and then being like, okay, I need to reach more people. So that's when we originally made the website Spies Fit to Fight. And it was like, okay, you can come submit your story, we'll put it on our blog. Like if you go way back on the blog, like back to like 2014, 15, you'll find the original stories. Yeah. But so it was like a platform that we had people share their stories and then people would be like, okay, well, where do I do from here? How do I share my story more? And so then I started like, quote, unquote, coaching people how to write tell their mental health story and like how to share that and how to inspire other people, because they got inspired by my story. So they were like, all right, how do I do this? So it was pretty much just me like Facebook messaging people and making friendships with people all over New York. And then I like discovered like life coaching by someone. I was like trying to learn how to like run a business. And then I realized there was business coaches. And then I saw the business coaches, I saw the life coaches, and I was like, I do this, but I just do it to be a good person. Like, I didn't know I could make a career out of this. But at that point, my then boyfriend and I broke up, and I couldn't run a clothing line anymore. It was just too much to try to handle like merchandise and shipping and packaging and doing all the like the manual labor. Mm-hmm. With just one person. That's when I turned it into a solely digital company. And that's when I kind of learned about how to build an online business. And I already had a background in marketing and design. And I was like, well, I should use these skills to not only help the companies I work for, but let's do it for me. So that's when I really built the site to teach people how to basically share their story. And that's kind of what Spies was for a few years, or probably like a year or two. It was just me voluntarily giving free advice to like people that wanted to share their story. And from there, I like learned how to make online courses. And then I would teach like inspiring things. Like, I wouldn't really give directions. It would be mostly inspiration, but they were like cheap online courses that people could buy, and they would find like amazing results. They're like, wow, you're so inspiring. You should do this, blah, 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 blah. So then I was like, all right, let's like start coaching people on how I got to this point. Like, I'm at a point now where people look up to me that I can like share my story and then share my story of how I turned my story into a business. And so it kind of evolved to that. And now I'd say over the past year and a half, I've been specifically geared toward helping people that have like a heart-centered mission. So not so, I mean, I do focus on mental health, but a lot of people are like, oh, I had, like, I've actually seen a few people that are like postpartum depression. They're like, I just want to talk to moms, and I want to talk to this, I want to talk to whatever, to try to like raise awareness. So it's like a lot of people that just want to help a greater cause, and then building a business around it and like using their experiences about something they're passionate about and to build an online business through that. So that's kind of where I'm at now. It's more of like a business side of things.
Yeah.
But I'm like not feeling it. So I'm like the type of person that'll get a new idea and switch right away. And I feel like very called to talking more about how I started everything. Like going back to like the roots of mental health and like spirituality and like how that helped. And then how like self-care and self-love, because I feel like I steered away from that within the past year and a half, and I'm like, no, this is not me.
You know, it's funny, I was talking to one of our mutual friends earlier today, Jeff, and I was saying the same thing. I was like, man, it, like, day to day, I feel like I am not getting anywhere. I was like, but then I look 3 to 6 month periods, and I'm like, all right, I'm doing better today than I was 6 months ago. I'm doing a lot better today than I was doing 2 years ago. That's like the only way like I can keep myself going, because I don't know, everything in this industry of helping, and man, I really, you know, I got to give credit to like nurses and, you know, EMTs, police, fire, like just all the helping fields, right? Because it's so draining and you never really get a second to like breathe, take care of yourself. And I was like, when I try and explain my path to others, I don't really know where it's going, but I know it's steadily getting better.
Yes,
exactly. So I know what you mean about like all the changes and everything, but what keeps you going on those days where like you're drained and you need to take care of yourself, but you have others looking to you for help? Because I think for me, that's the hardest thing, is that when I'm depressed, like this last winter, I had like a month where I wasn't doing well with communication with people. I wanted to hide out. I had people like looking for advice and for help. And how do you balance that when you need to take care of your own stuff?
So I do fall off the face of the earth quite often because I have not mastered that yet. But what I do the most, like what helps me the most, is to just automate a lot of my business. And because I do everything online, like you write poetry and produce books and stuff like that, or you do live like speaking events, so you can't really automate that. But for me, that's why I made so many like online courses and digital products, because I was like, well, I can set up systems and funnels and kind of like do all the business behind it and make everything go without me, like schedule my social media posts like for a month ahead, kind of doing all that. But then on those days where I, or not days, but those months where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do anything. And the automation falls behind. That's when I fall off the face of the earth. And then I just kind of go sit in nature, recollect myself, read tons of books, journal as much as I can. And then I just kind of say, okay, take a deep breath. It's your business. You do what you want to do. Even though people are counting on you, they're not going to take anything away from this unless you're at your best. So don't just spew crap out into the universe. Like, just put your best out there.
That's so true. Yeah, that's, you know, when I wrote my books, I was like, this is great because now I won't have to talk to anybody. And I swear to God, like, and now, I mean, now I have a radio show, right? So like, I don't, I mean, I'm getting used to talking to people, but the first few shows that I did, I felt like I was in a water bubble, like trying to talk, like I felt like I was swallowing water, like while I was interviewing somebody. And it was like the most terrifying feeling in the world. So, you know, it's like, I wrote these books that aren't directly about mental health, but they have to do with my mental health journal. So like everything in there is about my, you know, daily struggle. And I just thought like, I'm going to put out these books and like people are going to read them and I'll be good, right? Like I'll never have to talk to anybody. And then all of a sudden people are like, get on stage and read your poems. And I'm like, what? I have bipolar and general anxiety disorder. Like, why would I ever get on stage and talk to anybody? And I think it's interesting in our field how, you know, I see with physical illnesses, they don't really expect that person to be like the hero within, within the community. And with mental health, it's like, oh, you have mental illness or mental health condition, whatever you want to call it. Now you need to like, you know, go save everybody else with it. I find that so draining. And I hate to say it like that because I wouldn't trade today and this conversation with you or anybody that I've met, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's like you feel
exhausting. It is exhausting sometimes. And I don't think people see that. They just see us posting on the internet like, oh, look, they're doing so well. Everything's so great. But like behind that, we're so haunted by like the trauma and the anxiety and all that stuff's going on.
That's why I feel that where you just feel like you're giving and you're so drained and you're like, but I don't want to do this, but you still go out there and do it and stuff. That two things. One, when you're talking about you on stage, I was silently cracking up because I just watched a New Girl episode the other day. Do you ever watch New Girl?
I've seen it. No, I can't say that, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I feel if she's listening, yes, I watch it. But no, I don't.
Well, there's like one episode where one of the main characters, Nick, puts out his book, The Pepperwood Chronicles, and then he has to go do a reading in front of people. And he's like, me? Reading? And he just like starts not talking. He's like, Mitch. And like, he can't read his book. And then he goes hides in like a little toy clubhouse thing. And I was cracking up because that's totally how I feel every time I have to go out on stage. And I'm pretty sure that's what you were describing too. So you should definitely find that episode. It's really funny.
Okay.
and two, going back to like how people are like, how do you do it? Like they don't see the behind the scenes. I feel like it's becoming very popular to be quote unquote like authentic and like showing the behind the scenes of your brand and whatever the hell business, whoever you are, all like the Instagram stories and like showing, like documenting everything. I feel like that's becoming like a popular thing to do. But I feel like I've always done that just because I want to be like straight up, like, look, guys, like I struggle with shit. Like you're not getting advice from this magical guru person. You're getting advice from someone that's been there and wants to help you get through your tough times so you can help other people through their tough times type of thing. So that's what I feel like. I don't personally have people that are like, how do you do this? Cause like, I'm so open with it. But for the people that are like new to me, I could definitely see how they're like, she doesn't have anxiety. She's out there doing live Facebook videos and doing this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's tough because, you know, what people see, I guess it depends how much they read into it and people only see what they see in like, you know, a short post or read a blog and they're like, oh, like they got through it. That's the thing about mental health is like the struggle is real and the struggle is is forever. And you never know when you're going to have to take that time. And I think, like you said earlier, taking, you know, a week or taking a month and just doing the self-care stuff, going for your walks, reading books, whatever it is. Like, I encourage music, podcasts, like anything except getting stuck in like this, you know, like internet hole, like, you know, which is really easy to do these days.
The amount of Instagram holes I fall in.
All right. And I'm not saying like I don't do it. And that's actually, you know, for mental health awareness month, which was May. I don't know if this will be out by May, but
today is last day of May.
So it won't be out by May. But I was doing like this poem a day thing, like just, you know, stuff that I thought was relevant from stuff that I had written in the past. And it didn't even like take that much for me to just do like one post a day on like on day 19 or 20. I was like, all right, I'm done. Like I'm going to the park. Like because it's so easy. It's like there's an ad for this, there's somebody comments here, and all of a sudden I go from like mental health awareness month into, you know, buy these fake Yeezys, and I'm just like, I'm like, and I bought them.
So did you really?
They were like $49.99 on I won't say which site, but they're all over the Instagram if you want to find that site. They got fake Yeezys.
Oh my God, I'm cracking up. That's amazing.
So anyway, no idea where I was. See, we just gotten one. Instagram has trained us to fall in holes and not even know what we're talking about.
Yep.
Going with that. So anyway, let's talk about what you have on the horizon for Spy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Now let's talk about the present.
Okay. Present, I just re-released the Decaf Doers playbook, which is, well, backing up a little bit, my Facebook group for entrepreneurial women with anxiety is called the Decaf Doers, and it's pretty much just any woman out there that's ambitious, and even if you don't have a business, even if you just, like, have, like, a passion project that you're excited about, and then you have some sort of mental illness. I say anxiety because I feel like that's the most common and most like it takes it distracts you from your business the most, like, yeah. And you find all these roadblocks. So in that group is like a bunch of support for all these women with anxiety that are trying to build a business, and they want some business advice, they want some life advice, and some inspiration. So from that group, I basically took everything everybody asked for and made it into a course, which is like my baby because it took over like a year to make. But basically the course is divided into two sections. One is all about business advice and like how to build an online business, and the other half of it is all life advice and like how to take care, like self-care and all the mental health side of things. So it basically took all of my knowledge about business and mental health and put it into one giant course, and so far the reaction has been good, so I'm pretty excited about that. But I literally re-released that yesterday. The last time it was available was like in December, I want to say. So that's like the number one thing.
And I will say that I've, you know, taken a couple of your courses, and I've test driven a couple courses and workbooks, and I've always felt better after, you know, so. So whether you're learning something for the first time, or for me, I think I have this exact same mind you have where like 5 years ago, like I just scoured the world for like every
yes.
single thing that could make me feel better. But then like you forget things along the way. So I don't think this is just for a beginner either. I think that if you're somebody who, you know, is feeling great, but like want to like reinforce all these things that you learned along the way, sometimes it's better to get somebody else's advice and opinion, and, you know, cause it's easy to read things and watch videos and take classes and learn all this stuff on your own. But for some reason, when I like talk to you or talk to somebody who's like informing me about something, even if I've heard it before, like it helps it click when it's someone new.
For sure. There's a quote, I don't remember who said it, but it's like, basically, I'm just going to paraphrase, like it's basically you don't know everything. Like even if you learned it, you'll never learn anything. And anyone that wants to be a master at something will never stop trying to learn something. Like it's,
yeah, that's funny. I saw a Deepak quote that was like, you don't know what you know until you know what you know. And then you found out like you never knew anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at. That was a lot more nicely said. That's why you're the poet.
And the first time I read that, I was like, what is this guy talking about? And then 2 months later, it just clicked. Like, I was going for a walk. You don't know what you know until you know what you know. And now I can't remember. So here we go. Anyway, this is going to be a great way to wrap this up. Let's get back to something serious. What advice do you have for somebody right now that is scared to death to tell their story, or is looking, or maybe has told their story and now, you know, doesn't know what to do?
Number one advice is, if you already told it, don't be ashamed of anything that you said, because it's the truth and that's life and it's who you are. And if people don't accept that, then they don't deserve you, because that's who you are and you're beautiful and you can't change that. And then if you want to share your story, or you don't want to share your story, but you kind of do and you don't know where you're doing, basically just get out there. I think the best way to go about it is, if you are really bad at talking to people, then put it out on the internet, because like, I feel like it's backwards, like compared to the rest of the world, like don't put anything on the internet. But for me, at least, like having a Tumblr, yeah, let's go back there, in like high school and stuff, like that was my outlet. And I would just put blog posts up there, or like my own like old blogs or whatever the hell I used to use. And just like talking about it on the internet, and then finding like-minded people on the internet, you kind of feel like you're not alone. And then from there, kind of just start just talking to people and being like, yeah, so I have anxiety, or like post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter, or Instagram, or something like that. And if people start like being mean, delete them, obviously. Yeah. And then if people start talking about it, start talking about it, like start a conversation. Don't let it be one-sided.
I think that's awesome. And I'll take it, you know, to something else with, if people are giving you a hard time or don't agree with you, or just being assholes, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Because their opinion doesn't mean anything in, you know, in the big scheme of your life. Like, yep.
You're living life for you, nobody else. So
exactly.
Don't take their shit.
That's awesome. So where can we find you? How can we get a hold of Marissa Panay?
You can find, my website is Spies, which is SPIES, fittofight.com. And then Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is all at Spies Fit to Fight. And then you can also check out my podcast, which is Shining from the Shadows. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and you can also find the episodes on my blog. And if you're a woman with anxiety and you have drive and want to start something, you should totally check out my Facebook group, which is called The Decaf Doers.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Marissa. I hope that this is the first of many, many shows that we do together over the years.
Oh, show. Awesome. No, thank you for having me on, Joe.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much to Marissa Panay. Go check her out at Spies Fit to Fight and Shining from the Shadows podcast. Thank you, listeners, and for Mental Health News Radio and Hysteria Radio. Remember to keep the radio up to keep the hysteria down. Peace.